Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps I should have reviewed the lectionary for the day prior to planning the Sunday school teacher training to coincide with this particular passage from the Epistle of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Thanks, James. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that this verse is a warning, when really it is a reminder of our vocation, blessing, and communion. Lest I hear many of you tell me at the ministry fair, James's epistle said I shouldn't teach Sunday school, I thought we might dive a little deeper into this warning against the power of words. Who hasn't been there? You are having a conversation with some acquaintances, and a charged topic comes up. You try to contribute to the conversation only to offend half of the people standing around you. I know I've been there. I've said something that was intended to be harmless only to incite debate, or worse, anger. After leaving the situation, I stew over the interaction for days. How could I have said it differently? Did I need to speak up at all? This week, we learned about the horrible attack against the American ambassador in Libya, resulting in the death of four Americans, including one man who grew up right here in Winchester. At this point, it appears that the attacks were carried out by Islamic radicals who were angered by an anti-Islam film made here in the U.S. The freedom of speech is protected in the United States. But exercising that freedom carries consequences, not just legal, but personal. Our freedom of speech comes with a responsibility to our brothers and sisters around the world. That is one of the things James is telling us. That doesn't mean we should be silent, but it does suggest that we should show mindfulness in the words we choose. Our words have the potential to get us into trouble, just as they have the potential to bring about justice. The tongue is a powerful instrument. As we heard in James chapter 3, verse 4, the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It steers our whole course. While many of us have the luxury of waiting to engage subjects, in the case of teachers, they must speak when asked. It is the job of our teachers to share knowledge with their students. But in the case of teachers who pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they do more than share knowledge. They share wisdom. As Matthew's gospel tells us, we need not fear what we are going to say, because it is the Spirit of God who speaks through us. When I was in high school, I was terrible at math. Who are we kidding? I'm still terrible at math, but we're talking about high school right now. It was difficult for me, no matter how hard I tried. I just couldn't seem to wrap my mind around the concepts. I resigned myself to getting low marks in my math classes because I thought I must not be capable of more. That was until I was assigned to Ms. Strickland's Algebra 2 class. You knew how to find Ms. Strickland's room because you could hear the sound of Bob Marley or other musicians wafting through the hallways between periods. When you entered the room, you immediately noticed painted ceiling tiles overhead and colorful posters of all kinds on the walls. From first glance, you knew something was different about this class, about this teacher. Miss Strickland had standing time after school just about every day when you could drop in for extra help. No need to make an appointment. She would just be there. She put her home phone number on the syllabus in case you were working on your homework and needed to ask a question. She was serious about her vocation and her passion showed. I learned that the ceiling tiles were painted by students for extra credit. I painted two while I was there. She loved art and music and respected the different learning styles of her students. I got high marks while I was studying with Miss Strickland. But what I really took away from those classes was confidence. I learned that it was possible for me to understand challenging subjects when I was instructed with care, when my teacher understood my learning needs, and when I put in the extra work needed to succeed. When James writes his warning to those who might consider teaching, he does so because those who teach have the power to form or deform the confidence and joy of all who listen. As any good teacher can tell you, they encounter situations on a daily basis that require expertise in areas far beyond their particular subject. If a young student is having a difficult time at home because his parents are fighting, he will talk to his teacher because she is a safe person who has shown him love. When a college student is facing the challenge of balancing her course load, part-time job, and living on her own for the first time, she is likely to seek out her favorite professor about this juggling act. And when a 19-year-old recent high school graduate with great promise for the future is gunned down in the street while sitting with his friend at dinner time, like George, the Be Safe counselor, was just this week, students who knew him and students who simply live in that neighborhood and fear the same fate will bring their fear, hurt, and sorrow to school, where their teachers will have to choose either to address that pain or to ignore it because of the dangers inherent in choosing our words. The calling to teach is one that carries great responsibility and the potential for eternal impact. Here at Epiphany, the calling to teach Sunday school or to lead youth group is the calling to help our children build a foundation of faith and to dare them to believe that they are loved unconditionally by God. The goal of Christian formation is not to indoctrinate the learner, but it is to share the vital aspects of our faith in preparation for a season or perhaps even a lifetime of searching for truth. If we are able to share wisdom and love with our children and youth, they will be better prepared to explore the world with a Trinitarian foundation. And what is this Trinitarian foundation other than just fancy church words? It is the rock-solid conviction of our faith that God is, at heart, in a relationship of acceptance and love forever. We are all called to take part in this eternal trinity of acceptance and love through the power of Jesus Christ. Living in the Trinity is not just our future. Through faith and the church, it can be our present. Christian formation is the process of helping souls of all ages to realize and seize this invitation, made possible through Christ, to enter into the very life and love of God. If in our teaching we engage the difficult questions related to social justice, world religions, and our own Christian faith, we prepare our children and youth to enter into the world as critical thinkers. Life is never black and white, and we do ourselves a disservice if we approach teaching Christian formation as if it had simple answers to match these complex questions. One of the things I love about the Episcopal Church is that we are a thinking church. We engage difficult subjects and live in a tension between certainty and mystery. The world we live in wants us to have all of the answers. We can do a lot of good if we teach our children that the process of arriving at a solution is oftentimes more important than the solution itself. And like the road to Emmaus, we can teach them that Christ can walk beside us in our confusion and doubt, and is even our ever-present help in times of trouble. Miss Strickland's math classes were lessons in formation. She taught us to be serious when necessary and to laugh often. She taught us to challenge ourselves and to think creatively in search of solutions. She taught me that I am only limited by my own fears and uncertainties. Miss Strickland shared her love and her wisdom in addition to her knowledge. James's epistle warns about teaching because it is much easier for us to criticize those who teach than to challenge ourselves to become teachers. But it is important to note that we cannot escape our need to teach. We are all called to it. And we cannot experience the tremendous rewards of teaching if we don't even try. The letter of James reminds us that teaching is a ministry of the Holy Spirit and therefore has the power to change minds, hearts, and souls. The sculpting of souls is perhaps the highest calling of humanity. But guess what? We're all called to it. It's all of our job. Remember your baptismal vows? Either you or someone on your behalf answered yes to the question at the moment of your baptism, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? We're all in this together. So don't think that you can avoid the warning in the letter to James about teaching the faith. He isn't talking to a select group of teachers. Through our baptismal vows, his reminder to teach in the power of the Holy Spirit is actually a call to all of us. And don't be afraid of what James has to say. He is saying it to all of us. So if you are afraid, turn to your neighbor and ask for help. That's what we're there for. And in that moment, you are offering them the opportunity to become a teacher. So let's all figure out how we are called to respond as individuals, as families, as friends, and as the family of Christ in the church. I would like you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to call to mind the image of a beloved teacher from your past or from your present. Perhaps it is someone who taught you in a formal setting, like school, university, or even Christian formation programming. Maybe it was in an informal setting, like a family relationship, a colleague, or a mentor. What keeps that person fresh in your mind? Now, I want you to consider how your life would have been different had they shied away from the task of teaching. You can open your eyes again. I'm not saying it will be easy, but I can promise that teaching others in any context has the potential to change lives, your life, and the lives of those you teach. So what do you say? Are you willing to change a life? Through baptism, we are already empowered to change our life and the lives of others. As Paul writes to Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The only thing left for us to do is to start teaching. After all, we are all called by St. Paul to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. And the world is starving for hope. Christ is our Paschal feast. Take part in that feast today and pray about how you can teach our faith to the world. Amen.
Amen.